Okay, today's May 30th, 2018. This actually is my 35th interview, Scott.
Really?
And we are today we're visiting with Scott Harris, who is, if I recall, a 79 graduate.
That is correct. Hate to admit that, Bob.
Scott, would you want to maybe roll back into your early years, maybe even into grade school and on up, for what memories you had of getting started
at West Dubuque?
West Dubuque, or before that?
Sure. We lived in Dubuque, and then in fourth grade, we moved out to Thunder Hills there, and I went to the mobile home, I guess you'd call it, in Epworth there, and was there 4th, 5th, 6th, and 7th grade. And then in 8th grade, I came back into Washington Junior High because my dad was teaching and coaching there. Right. So I went to Wash in 8th grade. But then probably my biggest recollection was in 7th grade with Billy Betts and Chops Healy. You know, two pretty great guys. You know, they. I can still remember Billy give me a ride home every night after football. You know, it was flag football. He had a Volkswagen, and nowadays you probably wouldn't do it with your kids, but he gave me a ride to Thunder Hills turnoff there, and then I'd run home.
Okay.
You know, and he had the blue bug, and
right. And
he was our coach, and I was the quarterback, and we had a great group of guys, you know, Dave Manners, Trace McDermott, Mark Schrader, and all those guys. So it was a lot of fun. And then in freshman year, I had Mr. Finley. I still call him Mr. Finley. In fact, I just saw him last week at the WD. My son plays baseball at WD, and we played up at Waverly Shell Rock.
Good.
Mr. Finley and Tony and Mr. Finley's wife came over. And, you know, I had Mr. Finley in football and Mr. Schramm in basketball, and we were at the Farley Annex at that time.
Is where some memories, you got some memories of the annex?
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
What are they?
It was kind of dingy. I can remember freshman year, half our practices were at the Epworth Elementary School in that small half a gym, and we'd have practice, and we'd have 25 kids in there, and it's like, oh, my God. And then the other day, we'd go over to the seminary and practice.
Okay.
And that was really a big court. So I had that at, that was my recollection of a freshman year at the annex. You know, I experienced kind of probably the 79 class really had different sports conferences, because my freshman year we were in the Eastern Iowa Conference. I'll never forget playing in a golf tournament. The conference meet, it was All Wine Sacred Heart, I think it was Holy Cross Leal,
and St. John's,
and Farley St. Joe's was the conference.
Yeah.
Cascade. And Cascade.
Right.
We're all in a conference when I was a freshman. And then in my sophomore year, we got into the Big Ben, and we had Goose Lake. And I always tell people now, really, North Scott and Pleasant Valley were in it, and they were in our conference with us.
DeWitt.
Was it Clinton Mater Dei or Clinton St. Mary's at that time? You know, Goose Lake. I think Makokana might have been in it at that time.
Yes.
Comanche was.
Yeah.
And then my junior year was the same thing. We had most of those same schools in our conference. You know, I'll never forget, we played down at Clinton, and we had Coach Kilbreth was our football coach. And Coach had a... Had a brain tumor, and he'd have some seizures, and we were down at Clinton, and I'll never forget, we won the game, but we had to get on the bus immediately because he forgot his medicine and afraid he was going to have a seizure, so we had to hightail it home, and from Clinton, you know. That was an awful good conference. Junior year, you know, we had... And I had Dave DeLeary, who I always stands out. And at the time, I didn't think, you know, I thought, oh, God, don't be so tough on us. But he was tougher on the golfers in grades than he was on any other students.
That's right.
And he'd tell us that. Uh-huh. And, you know, and at the time I thought, ah, come on. And as you learn later in life and you have kids and you're probably harder on your kids than anybody, yeah, Dave DeLeary was a lot of fun. And we had a great time as him as a golf coach. And Kilbirth football, and then I had Mr. Maurer and Mr. Finley for basketball, and then I loved baseball growing up, played it all the time when we lived in Dubuque, but then when we moved out to West Dubuque, I didn't go out, and all of a sudden my junior year, Gary McAndrew came up and said, hey, we're short some players, why don't you come out? So Ron Dankert, who great baseball, he might have been as good as coaching that I played for, okay, you know, in high school or college. And so I went out, loved baseball, we had a great time. You know, I always get a kick out of it now because everybody's so 4A, 3A, 2A. Hell, we played Hempstead and Wallerton Senior, and there was no, yeah, that's what we played. You know, when it came to districts and that, whether it be baseball or basketball and that. I do remember we couldn't get a game. Kilbirth couldn't get a football game my junior year. We were short one game, so we played Hempstead JV. Okay. That's what we played. And we also played my junior year, we played Cascade. I think it was Cascade's first year ever having high school football.
Right. Yeah.
And I think our JV team played their varsity. And that, I mean, football was a lot of fun, baseball, golf, you know.
Before we go any further, yeah, I mentioned DeLeary, I have to tell you a story.
Yeah.
One particular year.
Greg, line one.
There was always a conference meeting. And normally there'd be a golf outing with it. And so this one particular year, I forget where it was at, but DeLeary was in the group and whoever else. I think they completed playing, but there was a bunch of guys outside and I think they stole their clubs out and there was probably a beer going around and somebody said, oh, I found this golf ball and it's got a name on it. It's a Leighton Hall was the guy's name on the golf ball, and somebody gave it to Lurie, and he looked at it and he put it down on the ground and he said, Leighton Hall my ass, and he hit it about 200 yards, and then about a half hour later he got introduced to the real Leighton Hall.
Really?
With his golf ball.
Oh, so going back to baseball, you know, the other thing that was really fun was Chops Healy, who later became my coach for Farley, was assistant coach for Coach Dankert. So having Chops there was a lot of fun because I had him as a junior high teacher and so forth. So that was a lot of fun. Then it came to my senior year, and we were in the same conference. And I'll never forget, that was just when Harold Knutson had switched from DeWitt to West Dubuque.
And I came too. That was my first year.
Okay, yeah. You know what? Let me back up a step. I'll never forget. We played, and there's a good side of this DeWitt game, DeWitt football. But when I was a sophomore, I was a starting quarterback, and I just absolutely loved playing for Coach Kilbirth. He's a man's man, you know. He loved his fire and all that. He might have been his, you know, one of my, he was my favorite. And anyway, I'll never forget, I was starting quarterback, and we kicked off. They ran the kickoff back. DeWitt did, okay? The next series, I threw an interception. They ran it back for a touchdown. The next series, we punted. And they ran it back for a touchdown. We were down 21-0, and our defense wasn't on the field. And we went in at halftime, and I'll tell you what, Coach Kilberg's veins are just popping up. see those 11 girls up here. They come up there and kick your ass. You know, he just pointing out the girls. And I just, you know, he was, like I said, he was a man's man that you wanted to.
How are you doing today?
Big guy. Okay.
Okay. Oh, thanks. So, I mean, with Coach Kilberg was a ton of fun. Then it came to my senior year, and talking about the DeWitt thing, Harold Knudsen had just switched from DeWitt, and that was his first year, and we had the biggest game West Dubuque football's ever had.
At West Dubuque?
No, at DeWitt.
That's right.
And we had activity buses going down there and everything, and it was back and forth, and it was just jam-packed. And we won 16-14. They threw a Hail Mary at the end of the game. We knocked it down, and we won it. And I can remember, I think you came in the locker room, Harold, everybody. Harold was excited because he just come from DeWitt. And that was...
Well, I have a memory of that game. I think of Randy or Rick Laughlin throwing you a touchdown.
Yeah.
Pass.
Yep. Yep.
Down the sideline on the closest to where I was standing, right?
Yeah. And we, okay. Yeah. Rick was a heck of a good quarterback. And so we, that was, you know, of all my high school games that I played, and I played football, basketball, baseball, and golf, that stands out as big as any of them was that DeWitt game.
Okay.
You know, it was, we won that. We went down there, the activity buses. It was phenomenal what we went through.
How about some of your other high school teachers that you recall?
Oh, God. You know what? Mrs. Callahan was great. You know, she was very patient with me with my typing. You know, she was typing. My favorite teacher was Mr. Finley.
Okay.
By far. You know, I had him for, what was it, business ed? Yeah, I think that was the title of the class. But had just had a, you know, he was, I'd go in there in the mornings and we'd always BS before school and that. And, you know, that, when I was just getting out was when Coach Danner was just getting in.
Right.
You know, and, you know, you've got the, you know, yourself or Jerry Ross or Tom Danner or Steve Finley or Paul Schramm, Larry McCready. I don't know if kids really realize the icons that all those people played in their lives.
You know, you mentioned McCready.
And Coach Kilberg, geez, I can't forget him.
McCready, in my mind, and I played racquetball against him with a bunch of guys, probably the greatest athlete I've ever been around.
Yeah.
I mean, to me, a hurdler has to be an incredible athlete. That's what he was.
Yeah. Larry was... I only had Larry for sophomore football is the only sport that I had Larry for. He always treated me good. I mean, it's unbelievable how the teachers stayed out there in that community as long as they you know, they're just... It's neat now because my son plays basketball, and I get to see the Paul Schramms and Zach Dimmer and all those. Those are neat for me to see them come to the games and that. So, Billy Betts and Chops and, just the pranks that went on with the teachers and so forth. They were a lot of fun. And, you know, all the teachers were great. I had Mr. Beery for one class. He wouldn't want me for any more than that because all I could do was draw a stick man and that. And, you know, it's okay to say different things
sure,
on there.
Yeah.
You know, I still laugh. And this is after I graduated, but a good friend of mine, Tubby Leifried, Mike Leifried, and you would have been there when this happened. I'll never forget, I think it was in Mr. Beery's class that they had to take pictures of kids on the playground. Do you remember this at all?
Keep going.
Okay. So Tubby and Terry Sam forget to get these pictures taken. So they stop at the Epworth Elementary that day of school and start taking these pictures.
Oh my God.
And by the end of the day, at 1 o'clock, the police are out searching for this white car. Here was Mike Leifert and Terry Sam. So then Mr. Knudsen called them in, And, you know, they weren't trying to pull anything over. They forgot to take pictures. And here the letter went out in the mail to all the parents about these two kids. And here it is, Mike Lifford, Terry Schaaf, that were just taking pictures because they forgot to take them at class. And, you know, I'll never forget, in basketball, we would always take a trip to the state tournament. Every year, boys basketball would take a trip down there and to watch a state tournament. And now I'd kill my son if he did this, but we went down there and we drew straws. And it was me and Jeff Norpo and Mike Smith, and one of us had to pretend they had cerebral palsy or something like that, a disease. So Jeff Norpo drew the smallest straw. And in fact, me and Mr. Finley were just talking about this last week. So he draws the smallest straw. And so we get into Vets Stadium down there, and our auditorium, and get a wheelchair for him. And we're wheeling him around the gym floor. And Senior beat us in districts first round. And they're at the state tournament. They're playing in it. And DeWitt Central, who was in our conference, who we had played a couple weeks prior, was in our conference. So we're wheeling Norp around the floor, and he's like this, going like this, okay? And we wheel him down to the very end, and all of a sudden, a guy taps me on the back, it's the police. And I'm thinking, oh, no. And they go, sir, I'm sure you'd like to sit up in your seats. We'll watch your friend for you. And Norp's like, Scotty, don't you dare. So at that time, there was three games that afternoon. And I'll never forget, our whole team was to the left, and here was Norp down there with all these people. And he still swears to this day that he had to get a chiropractor because his neck hurt so bad, because he wasn't able to wheel in there. He couldn't wheel out. So we got him good. And, we had a lot of great, great times, great teachers. You were involved in one of our, you know, you always have pranks. And I don't know if you'll remember this story, but catalytic converters just came out in vehicles in like 79 or whatever. And we had a conference golf meet. And we'd always have a good time with Coach DeLeary. And a conference golf meet was at DeWitt. And Cascade was also in the conference. And anyway, we were going to leave. And for some reason, Danny Noonan and myself and another guy from Cascade decided, let's take the catalytic converter off and the vehicle won't start. And we'll get a kick out of it and all this and that. So we do that at DeWitt. And the Cascade Suburban won't start, so they had to put it back on there, and it started. Well, we go into McCokin at that Pizza Hut, and we get to the Pizza Hut and eat, and I'm surprised it started, but it did, and we come out after Pizza Hut, and it won't start. So I got to tell Mr. DeLeary what happened, and he's not a happy camper, okay? So do you remember this?
No.
Oh, you were part of this. So we're like, DeLeary's not happy at all. Well, here comes McCready and Finley, and them are coming on a track meet, come back from North Scott. And they see us outside. We wave them down. And I remember the track guys going, McCready goes, there's Harrison, the golf team over there. So they pull the bus up by Pizza Hut and give us a ride home. And we have to leave the Suburban there. So it was crazy because Cascade took the letters away from Dan Noonan and them. They didn't get the letter in the sport because of that. So we get back, and you and Mr. Knudsen call me in and go, you know, it's going to be $1,300 or whatever amount it was. And I said, geez, I don't have that money right now. And I'll never forget you telling me, he says, well, when the school buses get in this summer, we're going to have you watch the inside of the buses. So I said, okay. But I never did get the phone call, so I didn't have to do it. But, you know, those are the fun times. And I can remember my senior when we played PV for the conference title. We would have won the conference outright, and they had two running backs that hadn't played the first three games a year, and they were dynamite. But we played down at PV, and it was record high was November 7th or 8th, and it was like 83 degrees out that night. And they got us. They beat us down there. And then we tied for the conference at that time.
Okay.
You know, but, you know, all the sports and the teachers and, you know.
Okay. How about another chapter past that, Scott? Okay, once you got out of high school, where'd you move on to that?
Okay. After high school, I went to University of Dubuque, and I absolutely loved it. I mean, I had a great time there. I played baseball and golf, and going back to my West Dubuque days, you know, I was, you know, best of friends with Billy Betts and Chop Seeley, and we palled around and did crazy things at that time. And you know, I'll never forget one time me and Betsy and Chops went down to Iowa State, and that was when Johnny Orr was coaching, and Chops used to have this yellow spider. He called it the yellow spider car, and he hated it. After a while, hated it. So he'd leave it outside. We'd go to the sports bars down there after the Iowa State game, and he'd leave the car running. Nobody'd take it. And we come home, and this has been going on. He's like, oh. So he finally decides he's going to get a Ford Taurus brown in at Finn and Ford. So he gets it. And he's got it one day. And do you remember where Chops lived in Farley?
Oh, yeah.
Got it one day. And Bud Gibbs lived right up the street. Bud forgot to put the brake on the dump truck or the garbage truck for Farley. And it ran into Chops' car. And Chops said, oh, if this just could have been a week sooner, I would have been happy as a lark. So anyway, I went to the University of Dubuque. And from there, I went. After I graduated from there, I went I student taught under Bill Hafer. Bill was a great teacher out there at West Dubuque. I didn't have him when I went to school there, but when I did my student teaching. And then from there, Dubuque Senior had a position. I coached football, basketball, baseball, and at Dubuque Senior at the freshman and sophomore level. And they guaranteed me a sub job every day. So I went in there, and after about 2 years, I got kind of burnt out because one day you might be a Spanish teacher, one day math, and you're kind of babysitting throughout it all. And then I went from there, and I'll never forget going back to my high school days. I ran into Larry Vogt, who played, I competed against, that went to senior. I ran into him Dairy Queen in Dyersville, and the one day, and he says, hey, you ever think about selling insurance or investments? And I said, yeah, I'd think about it. And he says, I'll give you a call Monday. And Larry was a good BSer, and I thought, well, he's not going to call me Monday, but he did. And then I ended up going down to Des Moines for a year. And then I came back, and I was Chop's assistant at West Dubuque Baseball and that. And it was assistant, and I helped out over at Beckman under Tom Jink. And I really, you know, of all the coaches, man, that guy could motivate. I mean, it just, he may not have been the best in X's and O's, and, you know. But as far as motivation, he'd have kids want to run through the wall for him. He was pretty special. So then from there, I was working at DB&T and Herrig Insurance. And then in 92 or 93, I coached for 2 years West Dubuque High School baseball. And I really enjoyed that. And, you know, probably the reason I quit doing that was at that time they didn't have any assistants. Right. So I tell you what, when you're a head coach and you're trying to think for everybody, and it's a stressful, and now they've got, you know, assistance and that, so that works out great on that aspect of it. And you know, I've obviously followed West Dubuque and in all the sports, and my nephew played there a few years ago, so for basketball, so I got a chance to go to all the games with him and watch him play. In fact, he was just back, and we went out on the river Sunday, and we got talking about different games and that, and you know, I'll never forget And Calvin, my son, will attest to this. I'd never been so mad as I was mad at Spencer after the Anamosa game when he was a senior in high school. And just, it did not play good down in Anamosa, and they got beat and should have never got beat. And I'll never forget the time that he probably... It was the best I've ever seen at West Dubuque when he had the 44 points against Willard.
We were in Florida. I never saw that game.
It was the most unbelievable thing, and I'll never forget. He stopped down before he went in there. I said, stop down, and I tried to give him my motivational speech, and I pounded the car, and I still got a little dent in my hand from it, but I've never seen anything like it. You know, he had 28 in the fourth quarter, and it was like, it's back to the, it brought back memories of a Doug Lampe or something, Yeah. Doug was awful good too, so.
But, you had a real connection with Johnny Orr.
Yeah.
Talk about that a little bit.
You bet, Bob. Johnny Orr was head coach at Michigan at the time. My dad played basketball for Johnny at Dubuque Senior in the late 50s, and when Johnny was in Michigan, I rooted for Michigan over Iowa just because we had that friendship with Coach Orr. And you talk about somebody special and somebody that always made people feel good. We'd go to we probably golfed 100 times and did different things, and it was always amazing. You'd go someplace and you'd get done golfing, and there might be 30 tables inside that place, and everybody sitting in their own table, and within a half an hour, 45 minutes, everybody was congregating to Johnny's table.
Wow.
He was just so special, and he'd make people feel so good about themselves, he could do it. We couldn't do it because we couldn't call everybody coach. But he always got by. He'd always say, "Hey, coach, how you doing, man?" He all his kids were born here in Dubuque. He was awful special. Did a lot of things for us, helped us get our foot in the door at different golf courses just because we knew Johnny, and Johnny would do things and I'll never forget, he asked us to come into Indianapolis in 2001 when the NCAA tournament was going on, and he was getting the Golden Anniversary Award with the NCAA. So we, Dahl says, well, we'll get Jerry Fole to fly us in there. Jerry was the guy that did all the mechanical stuff for Iowa basketball and football. He, got him on the air and all that. It sounds like a plan. And I fly a lot, but I don't ever feel comfortable flying. Ran into Gary's wife, and she says, there's no co-pilot on that plane. I said, what? I'm thinking, what in the world would we do? So, Jerry, we get this plane out of Iowa City, and he opens up his garage, and we pull the plane out, and away we go to Indy. Me, Dolph, and Dad, and Jerry Fole over there. And I'm like, Dolph, don't touch any of the instruments. Don't turn the air conditioner on. Don't turn anything on. And we're just in this four-passenger, and we're bouncing around. Freddie Horberg was playing with the Pacers at the time, so we hooked up with Freddie then, and I'll never forget Johnny had us with all the coaches' parties, and at that time Bob Huggins was of Cincinnati, and he's sweating up a storm. He's got the cigar going, and there was probably nobody that violated the NCAA rules more than him at the time. He was like, what are you doing? And he said this to Gary Dolphin. He says, Dolph said, I'm a banker. And he said, do you guys have a handbook this thick like we do at the NCAA? It was just, Johnny was, I could hear, my favorite TV show is Andy Griffith. And I can watch some of those shows 40 times and still laugh like hell.
Yeah,
Johnny Orr was the same thing. Johnny Orr, I heard all Johnny's stories. And, probably my favorite one was, he had a point guard at Michigan, Lamont King. Lamont goes, the academic dean came in at Michigan and says, Coach Lamont's got to go. He's only passed one credit hour in three semesters. And Johnny's like, God damn it, give him a chance, man. And Johnny says, no, he's got to go. And Keokuk had a junior college, I think Johnny said, back in the 70s. So he knows Lamont's never going to get back into Michigan. So he kind of loses touch with him. He knows he goes down to Keokuk, and the Shark calls. And this for Shark was at UNLV, was at Long Beach State. And he called him, and he says, Johnny, you see any point guards out there that you can't get into Michigan? He says, I'm a point guard away going to the Final Four next year. And Johnny says, man, I had one, but too dumb. You'll never get him in out there. And Shark said, oh, don't worry about that, coach. So fast forward. That fall, Fred Snowden, Johnny's assistant, gets a phone call, and here it's Lamont King. And he's like, Lamont, how you doing? Oh, great, 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 you know, and he's talking to him, and he says, Coach, Lamont wants to talk to you. So Johnny gets on the phone. How damn, Lamont, how you doing, man? And Lamont goes, Coach, I'm out at Long Beach State. And Johnny's like, wow, I'm happy for you, I'm happy. How, you know, how's everything going? He says, Coach, it's unbelievable. Women, parties all the time. We have a house right on the beach. And Johnny goes, I am, man. I'm happy. Happy for you. But how's school coming? And he said, Shark said, don't go to school and F it all up. So he never had to go to school. But in those days, in the 70s and that, they knew, everybody knew that Shark cheated and did that. And now it's all changed. But, you know, so many fond memories of Johnny Orr. I mean, it just...
you had a real strong connection with the Farley baseball team.
Yeah.
How'd that all...
Okay. I grew up outside Piasta there, and I played for Piasta. I started playing for them when I was 17, and I played when I was 17, 18, 19, and then Bob Hinchin played for Farley Baseball. And I absolutely love baseball, and Piasta only played in one league, so they played 12 to 15 league games and then the tournaments. Well, Farley played in the Eastern Iowa League and the Prairie League. And, you know, Chop Healy, who I talked about before, was playing still then, and Don Till, who I... Don was a great teacher too, and that, and Paul Sherman, three guys I idolized growing up. I'll never forget, because we were just talking about it the other day. I was at UD as a freshman, and that was when you didn't obviously didn't have cell phones. And Tuesday, May 6th, my mom says, "Hey, I forgot to tell you. Paul Sherman called on Saturday. You're supposed to call him." I said, geez, why didn't you tell me that before now? So I called Paul, and Paul said, we'd like you to play. And, you know, I'm like, absolutely. And, you know, now that was when I was 19, and I'm 57, and I'm still doing it, you know. And it's neat now because my oldest son plays. But I owe a lot to Paul Sherman as far as... you know, so many things and baseball and that. And, you know, as you grow up, you either drink the Kool-Aid or you don't on some things. And I drank Paul Sherman's Kool-Aid just absolutely love it. And, you know.
Yeah, lots of great memories of those years.
Oh, the best.
Yeah.
The best. You know. It's always crazy. My wife or I'll say, well, how can you remember that? You know, baseball players just remember those things. You know, I can remember certain games from 35 years ago of different things. And, you know, we were in so many tournaments and won a lot of games and competed and always felt we did it the right way. I didn't care if it was a Sunday afternoon game that, and, you know, we played hard and played it the right way. And Paul instilled that in everybody, and you know, and that's you know, but that's what I try to instill in my kids. You know, you got to be mentally tough, and you got to compete, and you got to play hard. You just don't go through the motions. And
yeah, those Sunday afternoon games, they were the toughest ones.
Oh God, I'll never forget. Springbrook was in the league at that time, and And their field, did you play down in Springbrook? Where they had the rule that if it got past four rows of the corn, then it was a double and it was eight. But I'll never forget it. And one Sunday afternoon, it was 95 degrees out. And there was, at that time, I don't think you could get beer on Sundays, or that it was a dry county or something. And Chops and Billy Betts came down in that game, are going from house to house paying people for beer to drink. And the other unique thing about Springbrook was they never wore helmets when they batted. Okay. You know, and you know, you just have so many fond memories of the different baseball tournaments and the guys you competed with the best. And the funnest times of my life, and that's probably the hardest thing now. Hell, I can't throw like I used to, I can't run like I used to, I can't hit like I used to, but to take off that uniform for the last time I don't look forward to that, and I hope it doesn't happen for a while. But baseball was so much. You know, I had opportunities to go find teaching jobs or whatever in other areas, and as crazy as it may sound, you know, I didn't want to move. I wanted to play for Farley Baseball, and when we got in the golf cart business and took over Chicago back in 2000, hell, I'd drive to Chicago at 4 in the morning, get my work done, and be back for, you know, a 7 o'clock game that night. Okay. You know, I did that many, many times. Wow. Okay. Our tournament game, or you know, got done with the game at 9:30, 10 o'clock, and hightailed it into Chicago because I had a meeting. But I would, you know, I wanted to do that because I just loved the game. You know, I love the game of baseball, but I love the guys as much as that. I love the guys I play with, sure. You know, and it just felt like you never wanted to let Paul Sherman down, you know. I didn't want to let him down. So, yeah, those are always very fond memories.
Well, you know, obviously strongly committed now with Calvin and his baseball and his other sports that he competes in also. So that's going forward. So you got that to look forward to.
Yeah, I enjoy all the sports that he plays. You know, he likes football, basketball, and baseball. And, you know, those are fun times. And it goes quick. Yeah. You know, I look at these pitchers and think, God dang it, he was 10 years old. Now he's going to be a junior next year, you know, and going on to college in 2 years and stuff like that. So, you know, there's things that our youngest, Brad, is 10 that I'll do a little bit different than I will with Calvin, you know, because it goes so quick that, you know.
Well, you know, I usually, when we conclude, a lot of times with people I talk to, I'll say, okay, so anything, if you could do it over, would you do anything different? But it sounds to me like you've done a lot.
I don't know. You know what? I don't regret for a second. You know, I mean, you talk about Farley Baseball. I mean, every summer since I was 18 years old, we don't take trips during the summer or anything. It's, you know, it may be... Most people think pretty stupid. Now I'm 57. I'm not, you know, I play some games. I don't play them all, but I played actively until I was 55.
Yeah.
You know, I didn't, my whole summer revolved, you know. Now, if we didn't have a game for 3 or 4 days, we might take off and go do something.
Sure.
But, you know, I can remember having family vacations, Clear Lake, and hightailing it back down for a night game. And, you know, I just, I always had a drive for baseball and Farley Baseball and, you know, Paul Sherman and that and the guys that you play with. And, you know, those are, as you know, Bob, that the games are always great, but just as great as the games are is the guys you play with,
right.
You know, and all your memories and sitting around having a beer.
A lot of times afterwards when you can have a couple beers and reminisce about things.
I don't know, you know, I probably wouldn't took that catalytic converter off for I can still remember like it was yesterday when you go, no, I want to say it was around $1,000. Well, Scott, we're going to have you in here to wear white. Okay, that's just Casey. We're going to have you wash these buses out during the summer. And I'm thinking, oh, boy.
Oh, God.
You know, and I think back at all the pranks that Chops and Bessie pulled on different people and Mr. Snyder.
I'll tell you a good Bessie story. This is the junior high, and anyway, Bessie got this girl in one of his classes. He had this wire-to-wire tape recorder, and he set it up, and he said, okay, I want you to say, help me, and then we'll wait a little bit, and then you say it again. And so you have to do this about 5 or 6 times. So then he takes his tape recorder into Wick's office, and he's got a storage cabinet, and he sets this thing up and starts it, because Wick has a parent meeting with these parents. They're going off and being all of a sudden, help me.
What did Wick do?
Oh God. Yeah, that Bessie had, he was like no other.
Well, didn't him and Chops do something with the pop machine or something?
It
went haywire, the prank that they pulled. I forget how that went.
I'll tell you what I did see just recently this spring. I was down in Florida. I got to go with Wickham's and Brian Heiduck.
Yeah.
And Brian.
Mr. Howard. How are you? How are you doing, Bob?
Good.
Thank you. What are you up to today?
Huh? We're doing a little visit.
Oh.
To Scott about school and his memories of those good old days.
Good old days, yeah. No, it's a little different now.
It is a little bit, but a lot of good times back then.
Oh, well, yeah. You got to be more personable with the kids. Everybody said to me, you know, when I said when I started, there were good kids and bad kids. When I left, there were good kids and bad kids.
Yeah.
I said, the only thing is, some of the parents thought they had more say-so at the end. And the kid became a number instead of an individual.
Right, yeah.
You know yourself. There's some kids that they work their butt off for you because they really like you. There's others, they like another teacher.
Yeah.
And, hey, that's the way life is.
Exactly. Exactly. Yep.
So, Brian.
Well, Brian, when Brian left and went to Florida, and anyway, Betts set up this video of Brian's.
I can't stop laughing thinking about. So Wick had two
parent conference. His parents here.
Well, I'll tell you a quick Wick story. 4 or 5 years ago, I'm in going to the bathroom at Atlanta Airport, and you know you go up to the urinal, you're taking a leak, and you know, I can see on the corner of my eye, this guy's pretty big next to me. Here's Tom Wickham.
Yeah. But anyway, Bill made this video of Brian. It was a big spoof on his memory of what Brian was like when he was at the junior high. And I couldn't. You'd have to see it to understand how funny it was with Bill doing it. But anyway.
Oh, he got my mom and dad. This is back in the probably early 90s. Dad won an award for Yamaha, and they were going to Hawaii. So Bill calls Mom up, says he's with Yamaha, and the trip is canceled. They're a day away from going to Hawaii. He tells her. Oh.
That'd be Bill.
You know, there wasn't anybody there.
Well.